The 9th of November is World Carrie's Adoption Couch. Day. Carrie's and recently couch. We spoke to Jo from the Baby Home, and she spoke about the amount of babies who were, and I hate this word, but dumped over lockdown, and just about what happens with these children that are in foster care. Then we spoke to Styles. Styles is a 26-year-old man who was adopted as a baby, and just kind of how it plays out, you know, as an adult, being adopted into a family of a different color, not being able to maybe speak the language that someone would presume you speak, but also what it is like to be an adult who was adopted. Is he for adoption? How does it feel? And those are all up on our podcasts. And today on Carrie's Couch, I've got Justin Foxton, and Justin is here. We're going to be talking about adoption. So perhaps you and your partner, or you alone, are thinking about adopting a child. What is the process? How do you go about it? And especially here in South Africa. So welcome to East Coast Radio, Justin Foxton.
Hi, Carrie. Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. So Justin, how is it that I'm speaking to you? What is your position when it comes to adoption?
So Carrie, about 10 years ago, my wife and I started the Baby Home, and we have since then launched 4 or 5 of them across Durban. So our interest in adoption came about when we started the Baby Home, and my wife Kathy said, we can do this, but if after a year the babies haven't been adopted, we're going to adopt all of them. So I got nervous and I started fiercely researching the world of adoption, and we got into becoming real advocates for it. We launched the KZN Adoption Coalition about 8 years ago, and since then we've adopted our own, and we've become really, really passionate about it, Carrie. We just love adoption and the world of adoption.
So just to double check, Justin, how many children did Kathy land up adopting? Was it just the one?
No. We're good, Carrie. Just the one.
Okay.
It was just the one. But there have been close shaves, I have to admit, over the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. Very close shaves of little ones that we've fallen madly in love with and we've had to see go. But it's a beautiful journey watching them going into their forever homes.
Before we get into the process of their forever home, coming from the person who's going to be the forever home, do you still have any contact with any of these babies who stole your heart, or do you have to kind of cut ties once that adoption's taken place?
No, we do. We all do. You know, the carers, the crisis parents, us, we really do keep in touch with quite a few of them. And of course, they're adopted all over the country and all over the world. So it really is a beautiful thing to watch them on social media and to hear from the parents and to track their progress.
So then, Justin, let's get straight into it. I am a couple, let's say, we'll start with the generic. I'm a married man and woman. We cannot have children for whatever reason, and we would like to adopt. What is the first thing you do in order to get into the system?
Carrie, you know what? I would start with contacting your local child welfare. That's a really good place to start, and especially here in Durban, because Durban Child Welfare has an extremely competent adoption unit, and they are really, really excellent. And so all of the families that we adopt to are first screened through Durban Child Welfare. And so if you are wanting to go that route, they hold great info sessions, and they have really good social workers who will give you the necessary information. So child welfare is a good place to start. Not such a great place to start is your local baby home. We really do advise, you can obviously come and volunteer with us and spend time with the babies, but we would say start by going to child welfare, and they will be able to help you take that first step.
Oh, okay. I understand that, because I guess some people think that they're going to maybe give some of their time and go to the baby home, for example, and now they start to bond with some of the children, then they fall in love with child A, and now they want child A, and that's not going to work like that, is it?
It's not. It really isn't, and it's so dangerous because our hearts melt and we fall in love with particular children only to discover that they are not technically and legally adoptable. And this is where the heartbreak around adoption can often come. You know, we hear stories and we've experienced stories of parents just falling madly in love, and then they hear from the social worker that child is not eligible for adoption, and we kind of go, how can that be? This child's in a baby home, this child was given up for adoption, this child was abandoned, whatever the case may be, but there is a process to follow, and that process is there to safeguard the life of a child. So to come in via a sort of side route and fall in love first is kind of putting the cart before the horse.
Okay, so then I've got some questions, and these are kind of like yes or no questions, and if you want to go into more detail, you absolutely may. But can a single person, so I don't have a husband or wife or even a partner, I'm a single lady or man, but I know that I want to be a dad or a mom, can I adopt a child?
For sure. Absolutely. Cutting right to the chase on this, Kerry, everybody, there's no impediment to adoption. Everyone can adopt. Single parents, couples, provided you are screened and found suitable for adoption, and obviously provided you're an adult, you can adopt regardless of your status, I guess.
That obviously refers to a same-sex couple as well?
Definitely, and we are so proud of that, because we were the first baby home in KZN to adopt a baby to a same-sex couple about 7 or 8 years. I mean, can you believe that we were the first? I mean, it seems crazy in the 2000s, but we were, and it was a real, I think it was a real breakthrough, because I think a lot of people have been really campaigning for that, and so it paid off. And since then, we've had numerous same-sex couples adopting from the baby.
Just a quick one, the first same-sex couple, was it two men or two women?
Two women.
Oh, okay, I was just wondering, I was like, that's just so cool for them to be like our first, you know, same-sex couple that adopted.
I know, we were proud, and I think over the years we've become really, really passionate in this area as well of promoting adoption in this space, and being really really gentle in this space about how we encourage adoption in different groups, and completely and utterly wonderful it is too.
And do you try and match a couple or a single person looking for a baby, do you try and match them by skin tone, or is it really do people just go, I just want a baby, I don't care if it's a girl or a boy, or do people come and say, I'd love an African male or an Indian male?
You know, in the first instance, Kerry, babies will, the challenge is firstly to find families that match a baby as close as possible. So you know, we will always prioritize, if it's an African baby, you would always prioritize an African family, and the same if it was a white baby, you'd prioritize, and an Indian baby, and so on. And that's because in social work practice, there's such trauma around abandonment and even being given up for adoption. Option for a baby in utero trauma, postpartum trauma. We want for the trauma for that child to be limited to as greater extent possible. So obviously, first prize for a child is to be reunified into their family, into their biological family, if that's possible. Obviously, when we're looking to adoption, we want for them to be in a family where they're going to feel as comfortable and as safe as they possibly can. You know, so when you adopt, it's very important that you state very clearly what it is that you're after as an adoptive family. It applies to special needs as well.
Okay, that's what I was about to say. I mean, because I can imagine, you know, you see someone, and you know, when you get to the point of adoption, I'm not saying that you necessarily are desperate, but most people who really want kids kind of maybe want their own first, and then you understand just how important adoption is, and it's almost like a no-brainer, like why doesn't everyone go there straight away? However, then maybe you feel guilty for saying, oh, but I really would love a girl, or but I really want someone healthy, because I just don't think that I could, I don't know if I can be a special needs mom. So you're saying that it's okay to feel like you're being picky.
It's, you know what, it's more than okay. Not everybody's cut out for parenting a special needs baby. You know, that's quite particular. And we've got to make sure that this is the safest possible option for that child. It's about placing the needs of the child first. It's about looking after the psychological and physical well-being of a child first. So if you adopt a special needs child into a family that isn't sure that they can do that job of work, obviously it's going to be the child that will suffer, and of course the whole family will suffer. So Kerry, it's a quite a complex thing, adoption, but we can make it easier by going the right routes and being absolutely clear about what it is that we need and want and feel that we're up for.
Then I'm going to ask if there is an age limit. So I'm a young married couple, maybe I'm in my early 20s. We've been married for a little while. We really want a baby. Is there more or less chance of me maybe getting the baby over the same couple at 30-something?
No, not per se, provided the couple is an eligible adult couple, which they they would have to be in order to have been married,
which is
as
over
you say,
18.
Yeah, over 18. And no, I would think that it comes down to the screening by the social worker. If you get a very immature young couple who don't look like on their screening they could parent a child at that age, maybe they'll be invited to come back in a few years' time.
Okay.
And they'll be given pointers around that. And it's the same at the upper end of adoption. Mm. You know, we've had families. We had a dad who adopted and he was older. He was close to 60, but he was like a child. You know, I mean, he ran around like a maniac and he had all the fun of him in the world. Okay. And of course, that's cool. You could get a 55-year-old who is who's not that way, and who, when that child's 21, will be a very old 75-year-old. It's really all the logic of it, but in the screening by the social workers where those determinations are made.
And then let's say, Justin, now I've gone through all the and understandably so, the rigorous process of now being given the tick that I can adopt. Mm. About how much money are we looking at for this process?
So that's a good question, and it varies. So if you go through child welfare, and remember that child welfare is not a government institution, it's partially funded by the government and it's an NGO. So if you go through that, you're going to pay one price. It's like, I always talk about, it's posting your letter via the post office by going to Postnet. You're going to pay more. So you could go that route, or you could go via a private adoption social worker or an adoption social worker in private practice, and that is going to cost you more. And the reality is that the more complicated the child's case is, the more hours it takes for the statutory work around that adoption to be done. If you go via child welfare, they have a wonderful system where they charge a percentage of your income. So they look at your income as a family and they determine how able you are. And very often those adoptions are done free of charge if the adoptions are being done into families where they have low income, because income should not be an impediment in law or in social
love.
Practice
sure.
To you adopting, you know. So we know plenty of parents who actually haven't been charged anything, and some who've been charged a few thousand rand. Of course, if you're going to go by a private social worker, you can expect to pay that sort of rate. I wouldn't even guess, but it's tens of thousands.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why we always say start with Durban Child Welfare, because they are excellent and they're reasonable.
Justin, I heard of I actually met this woman who the couple was getting a baby. They were so excited. The baby now was born and they were going to go and fetch him or her in, I think, Johannesburg. They got to Johannesburg to be told that mom had changed her mind.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously from the baby, the mom connection, you always want the baby to be with his or her biological family. I understand that. And what a beautiful ending for the baby and that mom. For the couple who are devastated, when someone's going through this adoption process, at what point are you certain this is now my baby?
So firstly, it is devastating, and there are many stories like this, Kerry. And the reality is if the process is followed correctly by your social worker, this shouldn't happen. Because what happens is that a mum will sign, she will give birth to her child and she'll sign consent for that child to be adopted. There should be no interaction with a prospective adoptive parent before the birth and before that consent being signed. Because even then, the mum has a period during which time she can change her mind. And I think it's a 60-day period. Because when a family give birth to a child, there is so much emotion around that. You can have thought during the pregnancy that you want to give the baby up. But having seen that baby, having met that baby, having, you know, the hormones associated with childbirth, you can change your mind the moment you see that baby. So that's why the law provides for a period of if you like, cooling off, where you can change your mind as a mother. So something went wrong in the social work practice there, because they were obviously introduced to the mother and introduced to the baby before they should have been.
Okay. And the other way around, what if let's say the couple get the baby, and I don't even know how to say this because I know we're not talking SPCA here, but now I get the baby and it's just not what I thought. This baby didn't come from me. I just don't feel like I can love it like I thought I would, and I just, this is not for me. I don't want to have it anymore.
So again, in the course of screening parents to adopt, that work should really be done. So
okay, all right.
There will be such good social work done that they will be pretty sure. And so what then happens is that there's a period of time when the child is declared adoptable and when the parents are declared eligible, and a child is matched because there's a register of adoptable children. The child is matched, and the child then gets to meet his or her parents, and they go through a bonding period, which can last weeks. I mean, in the case of an intercountry adoption, they come into the country, they can spend 2 months in the country visiting, building relationship, etc. So it's quite a gentle, beautiful process that the parents go through. In the case of the intercountry adoptions, they might have spent time on Skype with Joe at the baby home and the baby and the care. So there's a bond being formed that will hopefully mitigate that that chance of that bond not happening. And all I can say is that from the adoptions that we've done, there hasn't been an instance where that there's been kind of this rejection. That said, if there is a possibility that that will happen, speak up. Because you don't want to get to the age of 10 or 11 or 12 and decide that you simply can't manage this child. And there have been cases where that's happened, where at early teen years, parents have returned their children into the system. So,
yeah, but to be fair, Justin, there's a lot of biological parents that want to return their kids in the teens as well. So.
Correct. No,
I think my parents want to. So.
No,
I don't mean to make light of what you're saying.
this is true. And so the reality is, speaker, you know, at every stage of your adoption journey, you are in control of it. Don't feel that any question is stupid. Don't feel that anything's insensitive. Don't just cut all of that and get to the nub of what you're wanting for your life, a baby's life in your life. Yeah. It can be so wonderful if you just pursue it with vulnerability and authenticity and openness and just enjoy the journey, you know, but do it properly.
And Justin, I know, I promise I won't take up much of your time. So I've got just one more question, then I would love you just to let us know how we can get hold of you, maybe if we have more questions or are ready for this process. But, you know, when we think adoption, we think baby, 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 baby. We think a brand newborn, a few days, weeks, maybe months old. I'm sure that we must have a huge contingency of children needing to be adopted that are not baby babies anymore. Why do you think that it's the pull to the super baby? Because, I mean, surely we must be trying to also push for the parents to be looking at adopting our children. I mean, our up to 10-year-olds that are sitting in the system.
Kerry, yeah. I mean, we reckon somewhere between 2.5 and 3 million children in our country that would benefit from an intervention like adoption. That's the reality. So we always focus on the abandonments, 3,500 a year, but actually that's low. So we absolutely need to be looking at older child adoption. We absolutely need to be looking at special needs adoptions. And the reality is, because of the process that I've told you about, even with an abandoned child, you're not going to adopt that child at 3 days old or a week old or even a month old. It's probably more likely to be 9 months to a year before the statutory work is complete and that child is adoptable. We've had some babies adopted at 6 months, but that's when everything goes according to plan from a legal perspective, you know. So we need to rejig our thinking slightly. And certainly the 2, 3, 4, 5 year old children are desperately in need of homes. And that's the work we do at the baby home. You know, we're looking at what were the circumstances of the birth? How can we affect the neural pathways of that child? How can we play a role in the healing of that child so that when a 3, 4, 5 year old gets adopted, they're an adjusted baby. They're an adjusted life. They can come into a family, and physically and emotionally and spiritually, they are ready for life and they're ready to rock it. You know, they're not coming in as a broken child. They're coming in as a healed child, you know. So I would really encourage people to think along those lines, you know, and give it serious thought. You know, baby's not all it's cracked up to be, eh?
Yeah.
Lots of colic, lots of nappies.
Yeah.
Nasty. You know, let us do all that hard work for you. You think about an older child. child?
I mean, you put it like that. I think about my sister's children, and I definitely think the older they get, the nicer they are, the more you sleep.
Not much. For sure. They're sleeping through the night. Baby home babies are good sleepers, good eaters. Oh. They talk.
So, Justin Foxton, I would love, I could probably speak to you for another hour, but if someone right now is listening and maybe they've got more questions, or they say, you know what, this is the sign I needed. I've had it on my heart that I was something, and this is the sign I needed. How do they get hold of you if they maybe have a few questions and just want to find out more?
With pleasure. I mean, they can go onto the Baby Home website, and there's a lot of details there, babyhome.org.za.
Babyhome.org.za, okay.
Babyhome.org.za. They can contact myself or Joe. I would be very happy for people to email me directly as well. And my email is justin@peaceagency, .org.za.
All right. And that's peace, P-E-A-C-E, I presume. Not like the missing piece of your family.
No, that's peace as in opposed to war. Yeah.
Oh. Well, listen, Justin, thank you so much. And if you would, please just pass on as well our condolences to Jo. I heard that she lost her dad recently.
Yeah,
so
thank you.
So for
thank
a woman that's just doing so much as well for everyone else's families. We're just sending her all of the love. And thank you so much for taking your time to speak to us. And Justin, I really hope that this, once this is played, we have a few more children. They're going to find their forever homes.
Well, come on, KZN. We hope so, Kerry. And thank you for your support in this.
No, of course.
We always say that adoption isn't for everyone, but everyone should think about it. And so that's what I'm hoping people will do.
I would like to give a shout out to some of my family members, to Rox and Chad, who they have done a double adoption, two little kids. And I think for me, seeing it firsthand, having those children at our Christmases and our birthdays, and just imagining, like, I can't imagine them with any other family. Almost like they were meant to come in through their biological parents as literal just tools to get them to Earth so that they could come to us. So
For sure. Really, and it certainly feels like that whenever we do an adoption. That's, you've named it beautifully. It is a very special moment where you do feel that a child has been uniquely chosen for a family. And it's a beautiful thing to watch.
Well, thank you for everything that you do, to you and your wife. And make sure that she just keeps the countdown. We'll hopefully place the baby somewhere else, that your family stays a reasonable number.
Thank you,
Justin, thank you again just so much for making the time for us and for putting everyone else's families first. It's a huge thing that you guys do. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Kerry. Go well.
And you.